This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihil karim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani waslul sakhimata qalbi. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Inshallah, today in our series of Qasas al-Qur'an, the stories from the Qur'an, we will begin the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. And this is basically an extension of the story of Adam alayhi salam, because they were his two sons. And so there's a lot to learn from their story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an. So in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. And basically we learn is that one of them killed the other out of jealousy. And the reason for this jealousy was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor on his brother. When Allah accepted his sacrifice from him because he had offered it with sincerity and piety. And the other did not offer it with sincerity, and so his sacrifice was not accepted by Allah. He was not of the righteous. And instead of looking inward and correcting his intention and his action, he became jealous and he acted on his jealousy and killed his brother outrageously. So the one who was killed became successful in this world and the hereafter because his sacrifice was accepted. And he did not commit any kind of injustice against his brother. On the other hand, the one who killed him became a loser in this world and the next, because his sacrifice was not accepted. He acted on his jealousy and he set the precedent for murder and incurred the sin of all those who follow him. Now, the Quran does not mention what the sacrifice of each brother was, nor does it mention the reason why they offered the sacrifice in the first place. In the Bible, we learned that Abel, Habil, offered the choicest of his flock, and Cain, Qabil, offered from the fruit of the soil. And it again, the Bible does not mention the purpose behind the sacrifice. Now, Muslim scholars mention, in particular, we see Ibn Kathir and Al-Tabari, they mention that Hawa would give birth to twins at a time, okay? And the wife of Adam alayhi salam would give birth to twins at a time, one boy and one girl. And the children of Adam were to marry those children of Adam who were from a different set of twins. So a son from one set of twins would marry a daughter from another set of twins. So Abel was supposed to marry the twin of Cain, but Cain did not want that. He wanted to marry her himself. And his twin sister, he wanted to marry her himself. So Adam alayhi salam told both of them to offer a sacrifice, and whoever's sacrifice would be accepted would marry the twin sister of Cain. So Abel offered a healthy sheep, and Cain offered some grass and seeds. Okay, this is what he offered as sacrifice before Allah. So Abel's sacrifice was accepted, and this showed that Abel was more righteous. And Cain could not bear the humiliation, and he resorted to violence and killed his brother. And he did not know what to do with the body of his brother then. So in the Quran, we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a crow that began to scratch the ground and dig it. So when Cain saw that, he realized that he should bury his brother in the earth. And watching the crow made him feel that the crow was even smarter than him. And when he buried his brother in the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that he became of the regretful. And he felt a great amount of remorse. Now, other mufassirun, they do not mention the story of the dispute. All right, yani why Cain was upset with his brother? Why was he jealous? Yani why did they offer the sacrifice? And they interpret the story of Cain and Abel exactly as it is mentioned in the Quran, that both of them offered a sacrifice. Why? Because they were commanded by Allah to offer sacrifice. And one brought his sacrifice with sincerity and ihsan, and the other did not. The sacrifice of the one who brought it with sincerity was accepted because it was done with taqwa. And the other's was not accepted because it was void of taqwa. So Cain, whose sacrifice was not accepted, killed his brother out of jealousy and rage. So let's look at the verses, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, verses 27 to 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ قَالَ إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And recite to them the story of Adam's two sons in truth, when they both offered a sacrifice to Allah, and it was accepted from one of them, but was not accepted from the other. Said the latter, I will surely kill you. Said the former, indeed Allah only accepts from the righteous who fear him. لَإِن بَسَطَّ إِلَيَّ يَدَكَ لِتَقْتُلَنِي مَا أَنَا بِبَاسِطٍ يَدِيَ إِلَيْكَ لِأَقْتُلَكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. If you should raise your hand against me to kill me, I shall not raise my hand against you to kill you. Indeed, I fear Allah, Lord of the worlds. إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَن تَبُوءَ بِإِثْمِي وَإِثْمِكَ فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Indeed, I want you to obtain thereby my sin and your sin, so you will be among the companions of the fire, and that is the recompense of wrongdoers. فَطَوَّعَتْ لَهُ نَفْسُهُ قَتْلَ أَخِيهِ فَقَتَلَهُ فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And his soul permitted him the murder of his brother, so he killed him and became among the losers. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ غُرَابًا يَبْحَثُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُرِيَهُ كَيْفَ يُوَارِي سَوْءَةَ أَخِيهِ قَالَ يَا وَيْلَتَا أَعْجَزْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِثْلَ هَذَا الْغُرَابِ فَأُوَارِيَ سَوْءَةَ أَخِي فَأَصْبَحَ مِنَ النَّادِمِينَ. Then Allah sent a crow searching in the ground to show him how to hide the disgrace of his brother. He said, O woe to me, have I failed to be like this crow and hide the body of my brother? And he became of the regretful. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَلَقَدْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ ثُمَّ إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَمُسْرِفُونَ. Because of that, we decreed upon the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul, unless for a soul or for corruption done in the land, it is as if he had slain mankind entirely. And whoever saves one, it is as if he had saved mankind entirely. And our messengers had certainly come to them with clear proofs that indeed many of them, even after that, throughout the land were transgressors. So in ayah number 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ بْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. And recite to them the story of Adam's two sons in truth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was supposed to recite all of the Quran to the people. That was his role. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. That he was supposed to recite the verses of Allah to the people. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially tells him that recite to the people the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. And this shows us the importance of this story and how important it is for people to learn about the story in order to take lesson from it. Because it especially emphasized that recite to them, tell them, read the story to them, inform them about this. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ. And this shows us how important it is for us to go directly to the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Qur'an. Any one is that we hear about a story of the Qur'an from the mouth of one person and then from the mouth of another, or we read it in a random book, and that's okay. We get information from there. We learn about what the story is. But the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates it in His most perfect words, there is a completely different impact. There's a completely different effect. And so it's necessary that we listen to the stories that are mentioned in the Quran, because Allah tells His Messenger, read to them, recite to them the story of the two sons of Adam. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأ. And the story is not called qasas over here or khabar over here. It is called naba. And naba is actually very important and relevant information that is being given to someone. And so this incident that occurred between the two sons of Adam alayhi salam is something that is very important to every single one of us. It is of relevance to us, and it teaches us some very important lessons that we can take, we can learn from at a personal level. There are some things that we learn about, that are, of course, that are beneficial, that are true, but personally, we are not able to apply that or benefit from that immediately, right? Perhaps at some point in our lives, in certain situations, we are able to, apply that. But this story is something that is most relevant to every single individual. Why? Because this is a story of how two people offered sacrifice, they did a good deed. One person's deed was accepted and the other's was not accepted. And the thing is that as Muslims, as worshippers of Allah, this is what we're always trying to do. We're always trying to do something for the sake of Allah. So we need to know, what are those things? What are those factors that cause our deeds to be accepted? And what are those factors that prevent our deeds from being accepted? Is this not something that is relevant to every single one of us? Absolutely it is. 100%. In fact, all of the time it is relevant to us. Because in one day, think about it, how many times do we do something in obedience to Allah? وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. Five times a day, if we're just performing the basics, salah, we have to know, how is it that we should pray so that our prayer is accepted? And what is it that we need to avoid so that our prayer is not rejected? So this is something that is relevant to us every day, in every action that we do. Secondly, in the story we see two brothers having a dispute, and one feeling jealous and acting on his jealousy. And jealousy is something that we all experience at some point in our lives, or in some amount. It's common between siblings, it's common between spouses even, subhanAllah. Some people are envious of their children, or they're envious of their neighbors even. Any person that they see, they feel envy, subhanAllah. So how is it that we should deal with envy? This story teaches us. So this is why what happened between the two sons of Adam alayhi salam is not just a story. No, it is naba. It is important and it is very relevant. So, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ naba abnai Adam. The important news of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam. And these two sons are named Habil and Qabil, Abel and Cain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tell them the story bilhaq, in truth. And he tell them the actual facts about the story, right? Now, the thing is that, again, there's a lot of folklore and a lot of details that, are spoken about in regard to Habil and Qabil, okay? But what is fact and what is not, we don't know. What is certainly fact is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, right? So, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ ابْنَيْ آدَمَ بِالْحَقِّ إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا. So, what is the news? It is that إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا, when both of them offered a sacrifice. Now, قُرْبَان means a sacrifice. And it is basically something that a person offers from their belongings, from their property, all right? And they give it up to Allah for the sake of Allah. Why? In order to draw close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the intention is to draw close to Allah. This is qurban. It's from qurb. Qurb is closeness, nearness. So the whole purpose behind offering a sacrifice is to draw closer to Allah. Because sometimes what happens is that there are things that become a barrier between us and our Lord, right? They're coming in between. So you want to remove that, all right, in order to draw closer to Allah. Or you offer the best that you have, or of the best things that you have, something good, with ikhlasun niyyah, with sincere intention, all right, in order to draw closer to Allah. So this is the whole idea of a qurban. Because if you think about it, is Allah in need of our sacrifice? No, He is not. Not at all. Not even in the least. Because as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I did not create men and jinn except that they should worship me, right? مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُم مِّن رِزْقٍ, I do not want any sustenance from them, and I do not want that they should feed me. أَن يُطْعِمُونَ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ, indeed Allah, He truly is the provider, ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ, and He is one of power. He is not in need of sustenance. He does not need your sacrifice, right? It's not that He depends, He relies on your sacrifice. No, that is not the case. You are in need of Allah, and so He has given you an opportunity to do something in order to draw close to Allah. Because you need to purify your heart of these false attachments so that you can draw close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, إِذْ قَرَّبَ قُرْبَانًا, both the brothers offered sacrifice. Now, what was the reason behind that sacrifice? Like I said, the Qur'an does not mention. Okay? But what the Qur'an tells us is that فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا, it was accepted from one of them. Meaning the sacrifice of one brother was accepted. وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ, and it was not accepted from the other. SubhanAllah. On the surface, two brothers are doing the same deed. They're offering sacrifice. But what happens? Look at the result. It's so different for each. One brother's sacrifice is accepted and the other brother's sacrifice is not accepted. And this shows us that on the surface, two different people, five different people may be doing the same exact deed. Like for example, in Salah, in Jama'ah, when you see people standing in a row, there's like 5, 10, 15 people standing together, sometimes even more than that. Everybody's praying together. Everybody's doing the same action. But just because an action is being done, it doesn't mean that it will be accepted for sure. It is Allah who accepts. We don't know if someone's deed is accepted or not, right? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And He is the one who decides whether to accept someone's deed or reject it. But we have to be afraid on our part. That is my deed sincere enough? Is my deed good enough that it should be accepted by Allah? What do I need to improve? How can I do this better in order for this to be accepted? So our concern should not just be about fulfilling our obligations, just doing things, getting things done basically. That should not be our only concern. Our concern should also be the acceptance of our deeds, that they are accepted. And you think about it, when we submit a resume somewhere, When we submit an application somewhere, sometimes we even send an email with a request, right? What happens? We are anxious until we hear a positive response. Once we know that our request, our application has been accepted, then we feel at ease. Because we know that just because we have submitted it, it doesn't mean that it's going to be accepted. It doesn't guarantee acceptance, right? So why is it that when it comes to our good deeds, we're so casual about it, that we think that just because we've done it, it's enough. And then we don't need to worry after that. Or after we do something good, how can we have the audacity to boast about it and to think that we are doing Allah a favor or we're doing other Muslims a favor that we have done something righteous? SubhanAllah. One brother's deed was accepted, the other brother's deed was not accepted, even though on the surface the action was the same. It was the action of offering sacrifice to Allah. Now, as some Mufassirun mentioned, that the one whose sacrifice was accepted, Abel, he offered a sheep, okay? You need the best sheep from his flock. And Cain, Qabil, whose sacrifice was not accepted, he offered some seeds and some grass, some kind of vegetation because he was a farmer, okay? Wallahu a'lam. But we know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts a deed from someone and rejects a deed from another, there is some reason behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, none of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions are void of reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do abath. He does not act in vain, uselessly, la'ib and abath. Subhanallah. Allah is free of such frivolity. Okay? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the sacrifice of one brother, there must be a reason for that. And what we can understand is that his sacrifice was good. It was done in a good way, with a good intention, and also in a manner that is good. And the one whose sacrifice was not accepted, there must be something wrong with that sacrifice. Either his intention was corrupt, his manner was corrupt, something was not right. So instead of focusing on, well, what's the brother's fault if his sacrifice was not accepted? He offered the sacrifice. It's up to Allah to accept or not. So it's not his fault. This is the wrong way of thinking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unfair to his slaves at all. But what happened over here? When they both offered sacrifice, one sacrifice was accepted, the other sacrifice was not accepted. قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. He said, I will kill you. And the one whose sacrifice was not accepted became so angry, he felt so humiliated, and he felt so jealous that he said, I'm going to kill you. Now, first of all, there's a question. How did they know about the acceptance or the rejection of their sacrifice? The thing is that, at least for the Bani Israel, we learn how when they would offer, and even the previous nations, when they offered sacrifice or when they collected war booty, they would gather it somewhere and a fire from the sky would come and consume it. If the fire from the sky would come and consume it, that meant that the sacrifice was accepted. All right? And if the fire did not consume it, that meant that the sacrifice was not accepted. Okay? But for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been merciful. And so no fire comes from the sky in order to consume the sacrifice. No, we are allowed to eat of the sacrifice that we offer and also share it with others. And the main thing is that we show obedience to Allah by offering sacrifice, at the time that He wants us to, for His sake. And as Allah tells us in the Quran, that the blood does not reach Allah, the meat does not reach Allah. And when you offer a sacrifice, what reaches Him is the taqwa, the piety of your hearts. That is what matters. So here, what happened is that somehow they were informed, most likely by the fire of the sky, they came to know that Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Now, قال لا أقتلنك. He said, I am going to kill you. And لا أقتلنك. This is a very emphatic way of speaking. There is an implied oath over here that by Allah, for sure, indeed, I am going to kill you. There's no doubt about this. I am going to kill you. And he made his intention very clear. I am going to kill you. Abel replied, قَالَ, he said, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He said, indeed, Allah only accepts from the righteous. Allahu Akbar. Why is he saying this? That indeed Allah only accepts from the righteous. Why is he saying this as a response? Basically, his response is making, it is for, and the reason why he says this is to make his brother look inward. That it's not my fault if my sacrifice is accepted. I offered it with sincerity. I offered the best that I had. And Allah is the one who accepted it, right? And I don't get to decide that. You don't get to decide that. It is Allah who decides. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ. Right? And secondly, Allah accepts from the righteous. So you offer sacrifice with taqwa and Allah will also accept yours. It's not my fault that you're getting, you know, it's not my fault. So why are you getting upset with me? Why are you blaming me? You need to look inward and see how you need to change your actions in order for them to be accepted by Allah. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And taqwa over here, piety over here means any doing what you're doing with sincerity and ihsan. Sincerity, as in you do it purely for the sake of Allah, and ihsan, that you do it at the level of excellence. So Abel, yes, he offered his sacrifice with sincerity, purely for the sake of Allah, purely to please Allah. And secondly, he did it with ihsan, meaning he offered the best sheep that he had. So this is why his sacrifice was accepted. Now when he says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, he's not showing off over here that, oh, I'm a muttaqi, I'm a righteous person, and this is why my sacrifice was accepted, and you're not a righteous person, and your sacrifice was not accepted. He's not boasting over here. He's just stating a fact that would serve as a powerful reminder and that would serve as an admonition that, you know, look inward. Don't blame me. Don't project, you know, your anger at me. You have to look inward. So he wasn't showing off over here. So, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And there's a number of lessons that we can take from this ayah, right? So let's focus on these lessons before we continue to the next ayah. First of all, we see in this ayah that this story is incredibly important and relevant to every person, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite it to the people, and He describes it as a naba, right? And this shows us how important it is for us to learn true historical incidents, whether they are, you know, from the seerah or they're those stories that are mentioned in the Quran, because human nature is the same. Human behavior is the same. So if there's, you know, if we reflect on the stories of the past, the true stories, there are so many lessons that we can learn, so many characters that we can relate with, and a lot of lessons that we can take from them. Then we see that it is Allah who decides whether to accept or reject deeds, right? But of course, there is a standard by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the deeds of people and by which He rejects the deeds of other people, right? So when it comes to worship, right, when is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the worship of His slaves? When they do it with sincerity and when they do it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, right? This is the condition for the acceptance of worship, that it must be done with sincerity and it must be done in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, right? So, you know, like when it comes to dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, call upon me, I will answer you. Right? You call, I will answer. Right? So the one who, likewise, the one who does something good with sincerity and in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, then his deeds will be accepted. Right? His effort will be rewarded. Now, the brother says, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. Cain, instead of looking inward and instead of improving his intention and his action, he just acted on his rage, on his jealousy, and he said, I am going to kill you. What's happening over here? He is feeling extremely jealous and he's acting on his jealousy, right? Now, when it comes to jealousy, it's very important that we understand what it is and how it works and how we can manage it. Because Hasan al-Basri said that there is no one from the children of Adam except that he has some amount of jealousy in him. Meaning, basically, Hasan al-Basri said that jealousy is in the nature of human beings. Right? It is in the nature of human beings. So when it is in the nature of human beings and they feel jealous, okay, that is something that they're not responsible for. Because if something is in your nature, you're not responsible for it. But what you are responsible for is your behavior, your actions, when you act on that jealousy, right? Now, certain emotions, like for example, anger, it can actually be very good, right? Very positive even. There's a good kind of anger also. But if a person does not manage anger, all right, and they act on their anger in a wrong way, then this is wrong, right? They are responsible, they are sinful for how they're acting on their anger. So just like that, jealousy is in our nature. We are going to feel jealous at some point, a little or a lot. Okay? But this is a feeling that needs to be managed. And this is a feeling that we don't just act on blindly. Now, what exactly is hasad? What exactly is jealousy? Jealousy is that a person is unhappy with the blessing that Allah has bestowed on another. And they're unhappy about the fact that someone has a certain blessing that Allah has privileged them with. Okay? But hasad is more than just that unhappiness. Sometimes hasad means that a person wants the other to lose that blessing. Okay? And they're so unhappy about the fact that someone has a certain blessing that they don't want them to have it. They want that blessing to be taken away from them. They want them to lose it. They want them to, something should happen so that they no longer have it. Okay? Other times, hasad is so strong that a person wants that that blessing should be taken away from the other and it should be given to them. Like, for example, a person sees another with a very nice jacket, right? So he feels jealous. Why does he have it? Why does he have this jacket? They should not have it. I should have it. Oh, I wish they would lose it and I wish I could take it. I wish I could have it. This is another level of jealousy. So there's different levels of jealousy. Okay? Now, there's also kinds of jealousy in the sense that there's an evil, negative kind of jealousy, which I just explained. And there's also a positive kind of jealousy, which is typically called al-ghibta. Al-ghibta is that you see someone with a blessing, okay, and you're not unhappy that they have it, but you wish that you could also have it. You see that? You wish that you could also have it. You're not unhappy that they have it. No, you don't mind whether they have it or not, but seeing them having something makes you wish for it. And this is not something wrong. Okay, this is not something wrong. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ told us that لا حسد إلا على اثنتين. There is no jealousy permissible except in two cases. All right. And what are these two cases? First of all, a man whom Allah has given the knowledge of his book to. So he recites it in the night. All right. And he lives by it, acts upon it. And the second is a man whom Allah has given a lot of wealth to. So he spends it in the way of Allah in the night and in the day. So these two people, yes, you can feel jealous of them. But jealousy here does not mean that you no longer want them to have knowledge of the book or you no longer want them to have any wealth. No, it means that they have it, great. I also want it. I also want it. And it's very normal that when you see someone with something nice, you wish to have it too, right? And this is permissible that you wish to have it. But it should not be any excessive that you see someone with a phone and you're like, I want it too. You see someone with nice hair, like, I wish my hair was like that. You see someone with a nice car, like, I wish my car was like that. And you don't live your life always wishing for things that other people have. Because that means that you're not looking at what Allah has privileged you with. And that is a problem. And the thing is that when you're always looking at other people's things, all right, that shows you that you are very focused on this dunya. That you are deceived by this dunya. There's a lot of greed for this world in your heart, which is a much bigger problem, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say that jealousy is permissible when you see someone with a nice, you know, with nice hair or with nice skin or with a lot of wealth. No, it is permissible when you see someone with knowledge of the Quran and they're acting by it, because that is something worth wishing for, right? That you want the same for yourself. Likewise, you see someone with wealth and they're spending it in the way of Allah. They're earning so many good deeds. So yes, this is worth it that you feel some kind of, you know, envy that you also wish for the same. All right. But wishing for every little thing that people have, they're wearing a nice ring, I want the same. They're wearing a certain type of clothes, I want the same. Any, be yourself and look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you and stop staring at other people's things all the time and stop wishing for other people's things all the time. Because when you start excessively admiring and looking at the things of other people, then this is where shaitan becomes very active. And this is where the person with the blessing can be affected by the evil eye. Right? So be careful. So hasad is something that is there. Right? Now, we have identified the negative kind of jealousy and also the positive kind of jealousy. And we've also recognized the fact that every person has it. So should we just ignore feelings of jealousy when they come? Should we be concerned about them? The thing is that jealousy is an ancient disease of the heart. Okay, if you think about it, why did Iblis refuse to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam? The reason was jealousy, right? And look at what became of Iblis. Then we see that the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, why did Cain kill his brother? The reason was jealousy, right? And so many people, when they feel jealous and they act upon their jealousy, they end up doing so many wrong things. Look at the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They were jealous of Yusuf alayhi salam. And look at how they lied to their father. They threw him in the well. And look at all that Yusuf alayhi salam had to endure because of the jealousy of his brothers. Right? The people of Makkah, they were also jealous of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That how come he has been given prophethood? Why were we not given? And they rejected the truth because of that jealousy. The Bani Israel also, right? They were jealous that how come an Arab has been chosen as a messenger? Why not one of us? How come? And because of that jealousy, again, they rejected him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So look at how much loss they endured, all right? How many wrong things they ended up doing out of hasad, out of jealousy. So remember that acting on jealousy is something that is haram. Okay, it is something that is not permissible. Why? Because it destroys your religion. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that that there has come to you the disease of the nations before you, jealousy and hatred. And al-hasad wal-baghda, he said, hatred is the destroyer that destroys religious commitment. Okay, and the word that he used for destruction was shaving. And he said that it does not shave hair. No, that's not what it does. It shaves off your deen. And it completely, imagine a lawnmower, if you take it over a flower bed, okay, over a patch of grass, what's going to happen? Whatever that is in its path, it's going to cut it off. And this is what happens when a person acts on their jealousy, on their baghda, that it ruins their good deeds. Okay, it ruins their deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade us. He said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تباغضوا. Do not have jealousy against one another and do not have hatred for one another. Right? And people are fortunate when they don't act on their jealousy. And they're protected from a lot of harm when they don't act on their jealousy. The problem with acting on one's jealousy is that, first of all, it keeps you upset. And just because you act on your jealousy doesn't mean that you satisfy that feeling. You know, for example, when you're thirsty, you drink a glass of water and you're satisfied. Your thirst is quenched. Jealousy is not like that. When you're feeling jealous and you act on your jealousy, you will never feel a sense of satisfaction. It will always make you upset and angry, all right, and annoyed, and you're not going to be able to enjoy anything in your life. And you imagine, you witness this, for example, in children. When one is jealous of the other, then what happens? He cannot see the toy that he has. He cannot see the treat that he has. Cannot enjoy what he has. Constantly focused on the sibling who has something that he wishes for. Right? And then it gets stronger. That feeling gets stronger. Leads to arguments and fights and bickering. So there's really no satisfying feelings of jealousy by acting upon them. You know, like someone said that envy, and the one who envies never takes a holiday. What does that mean? That the one who envies never gets a break, never gets to enjoy, because he's always going to be upset and annoyed, right? The other thing is that when a person acts on their jealousy, then this is something that leads them to disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal and oppose the religious commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on us. Another thing is that jealousy is what? It is basically being upset with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decision. Because if someone has a certain blessing, tell me, how did they get it? They got it because Allah is the one who gave it to them. Right? Allah is ar-Razzaq, the provider. Nobody has anything except that Allah is the one who has given it to them. Whether they strove for it or not, that's a different discussion. But ultimately, they have it because Allah is the one who gave it to them. So if you have a problem with someone having a certain blessing, you basically have a problem with Allah. Then why did Allah give it to them? And why did He not give it to me? This is not fair. And things like that. A person has a problem with Allah's decision. And this is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous to one's iman. Right? And this is why Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that there are four pillars of kufr. And he disbelief stands on four pillars. And what are those four pillars? They are kibr, pride, hasad, jealousy, ghadab, rage, and shahwa, lust. Think about it. Jealousy is something that can eventually lead a person to kufr. This is so dangerous. And really, if you think about it, what led Iblis to kufr? It was his jealousy. What led the people of Makkah and also the Bani Israel to their kufr in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was their jealousy. Right? And entertaining such jealousy of believers, this is actually a sign of hypocrisy. Because Allah tells us about the hypocrites that in tamsaskum hasanatun tasu'hum, that if something good reaches you, it upsets them. SubhanAllah. The believer is different. the believer is happy on seeing that another believer has a blessing. And they're happy for their Muslim brother or sister, that I'm so happy for you that Allah has blessed you with, because you have this, all right? You're going to do something good with it. And, you know, this is good for Islam. So the believer is happy with the blessings of others. And it's a sign of hypocrisy that a person does not like that someone should have something good. And the thing is that hasad is something that leads to many sins, and it blackens the heart, right? It makes a person forget the remembrance of Allah. Now, how should we protect ourselves from jealousy? First of all, the alternative to hasad is ghibta. Okay, the alternative to hasad is what? Ghibta. That when you see someone with something good, okay, you don't wish that they should lose it or that it should be taken away from them and given to you. No. Instead, you turn to Allah and you ask Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika al-azim. Oh Allah, I ask you for your great favor. You are the one who has bestowed so many favors on your creatures. I also desire that you bestow such and such favor on me. Okay? So, when you see someone with a blessing, it should actually make you realize how vast are the treasures of Allah, and how generous is Allah, and how Allah is able to bestow so much to His slaves. And seeing someone with a blessing should make you realize the greatness of Allah and the vastness of His treasures. When you think like that, you're going to look at the source, right? You're going to look at Allah and you're going to ask Him that, oh Allah, grant me also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا, do not wish for مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Do not wish for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has privileged some of you with over others. And if Allah has given something to someone, don't constantly wish for what Allah has given them. Okay? لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبُ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلْنِسَاءِ نَصِيبُ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah for His favor. He is the source, so ask Him. This is the first thing that we need to do. Turn towards Allah, realize the vastness of His treasures, okay, and ask Him. So this means you see someone with, you know, a nice car, you see someone with good health, you see someone with great opportunities, you see someone with an amazing career, you see someone, you know, being successful and fulfilling their goals. At that time, don't feel sad that, oh, I always wanted to be like this and I'm not like that. I always wanted, you know, such a career, but I was not able to. So poor me. No, not poor me. This is what Allah gave them, because Allah is able to give a lot. And Allah gave me something different, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give me more. So, oh Allah, I thank you for whatever that you've given me, and I am here to ask for more, because you are Dhul Fadli al-Azim. Secondly, another thing that can help us manage jealousy is that we strengthen our iman. Iman, your faith, is something that will protect you against jealousy. The Prophet ﷺ said that two things will never be gathered in the heart of a slave: faith and jealousy. Iman wal hasad can never be gathered in the heart of a slave. The question is, how does iman protect you against jealousy? The thing is, when you believe in Allah, what does that mean? You believe that Allah is the Rabb. Allah is the Lord, right? He is the one who has created everything and everyone, and He is the one who is the provider. So He is the mu'ti and He is the mani', right? Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayta, wa la mu'tiya lima mana'ta. That, oh Allah, there is no one who can prevent what you give, and no one who can give what you prevent. So if someone has something, it's because Allah gave it to them. And if someone does not have something, it's because Allah prevented it from them. Right? If someone has a certain privilege, a certain blessing, it's because Allah is the one who gave it to them, because He is Ar-Razzaq. And I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything with His wisdom. Right? None of His actions are void of wisdom. They're based on His perfect knowledge. So when you focus on your belief in Allah, then you are content with the decrees of Allah, with the decisions of Allah. It brings in you a certain level of contentment. Then you're not unhappy. So for example, you see someone with a very nice car, okay? And suddenly shaitan puts in your heart, well, look at them and look at your car. It's embarrassing to drive your car, right? And here you are striving so hard, working so hard, you know, trying to stay away from haram, and this is what you get. No, at that time, remind yourself, Allah is Ar-Razzaq. Allah is Al-Alim. Allah is Al-Hakim. Right? If this person has it, Allah gave it to them. The other thing is that Iman is something that develops a sincerity for you for other people. Why? Because when you have true Iman, then you love for your brother what you love for yourself. Correct? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are brothers. So you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So the stronger your Iman is, the happier you are with the blessings that others have been given, because you want the best for them. You don't want good to be limited to you. No, you want that good should be extensively shared among people. Iman does not make you selfish and greedy. It makes you generous, and it makes you desire good for all people. Another thing that can help us against jealousy is that we make our actions more sincere for Allah. Okay? Because when you develop sincerity in your heart, that means that your heart is pure. Pure as in pure of any anger or, anger with Allah or discontent with Allah's decrees. The purer you are in terms of your thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more protected you will be against feelings of jealousy. Another important thing is that look at the example of those who were so generous and who were not jealous, even though they themselves were in need. Like, for example, the companions, especially the Ansar. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in Surah Al-Hashr in the Quran, that يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. They love those who have immigrated to them. Yani the muhajirun. They love the muhajirun. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا. And they don't find in their hearts any desire for what the muhajirun have been given. Okay, subhanAllah, the Ansar did not feel jealous of what the Muhajirun were given. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. Look at their generosity, that they give preference to the Muhajirun over themselves, even though they themselves are in need. Right? So look at the examples of those who have been so generous, so giving, so selfless, okay, and try to be like them. There are some people who live their lives wondering how they can protect themselves and how they can, seek all good for themselves, selfishly. And then there are others who live generous lives. And those who live generous lives, who extend, not only things to other people, but also good thinking. They think good about others. They wish good for others. So those who live generously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blesses them with abundance and happiness. And finally, another important thing is that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you against jealousy. In Surah Al-Hashr, we learned the dua, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Our Lord, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us in faith, and put not in our hearts any resentment towards those who have believed. Our Lord, indeed, you are kind and merciful. So if you find in your heart some kind of resentment for another Muslim, whether they are a relative or not, a friend or not, someone you see online or otherwise, when you sense any kind of jealousy in your heart for another Muslim, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify your heart. Ask Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkarat al-akhlaq wal-a'mal wal-ahwa. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from evil character, evil actions, and evil desires, and jealousies and evil desire. Ask Allah, Allahumma hdi qalbi wa saddid lisani wa srul sakhimata qalbi. Oh Allah, guide my heart, make my tongue true, and draw out malice from my heart. Any bad feeling that is sitting in my heart, oh Allah, take that out. So he said, the brother said, Cain said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ, I will kill you. He was acting on his jealousy. What happened? Abel replied, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Habil replied that indeed Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen. And this is such an important statement that we need to remind ourselves of often. The thing is that sometimes we just fall into certain patterns and routines, that we just have a habit of doing certain things, and we don't think about the intention with which we are doing it or the manner in which we are doing it. Which deeds does Allah accept? Those deeds which are done with taqwa. Okay, that are done with taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is consciousness, right? That a person is conscious of Allah and they're taking measures to protect themselves against the wrath of Allah. And they're taking measures in order to receive, in order to obtain the pleasure of Allah. How do you do that? You do that by two things. First of all, bringing sincerity in your actions. That in your heart, you are sincere, you're doing it for the sake of Allah, not to seek praise from people, not to just satisfy other people that they should not blame you or anything. No, you're truly desiring to please Allah. You have hope in His mercy, you desire the reward that He has, you want closeness to Him, you want to make Him happy with you. And so that is your intention, that is your purpose. The second thing is that your manner, how is it that you are performing the action? You have to do it properly. And what does that mean? That means that you do it in the way that Allah has prescribed. So you do the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do, and you stay away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden you from. So for example, when it comes to salah, performing salah in itself is an act of piety, right? So that is excellent. Now, sometimes what happens is that a person is performing salah, but they don't have piety in their salah. So, for example, they're constantly fidgeting, they're looking here and there, they're rushing through their salah, they have no idea about what they're saying. They don't even have wudu, right? They're not sure if they have it, subhanAllah. So, this is what? This is a prayer that is void of piety, okay? So, we have to be careful that whatever we do it with taqwa. Now, the muttaqi, the one who has taqwa, is the one who has ikhlas, the one who has sincerity, and the one who does good with ihsan, with excellence. And there are, different ways in which we can improve our taqwa. Okay, like for example, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you practice more consciousness, you do different good deeds that strengthen your taqwa, because ibadah in itself strengthens your taqwa. Fasting brings taqwa, right? You keep the company of those people who are righteous, who inspire you to be more sincere to Allah and to worship Him in a better way, in a more excellent way. And of course, you ask Allah for taqwa. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. Oh Allah, I ask you for guidance and for taqwa, right? Now the thing is that إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah accepts only from those who are righteous. Does this mean that if there's a person who sins sometimes, his good deeds are not accepted? No. What this means is that Because the thing is that there's no person who is free of sin, right? Every person, all of the children of Adam make mistakes, right? Some, of course, more than others, but all of the children of Adam make mistakes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions who Jannah is for in Surah Ali Imran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding them, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Those who, when they do something immoral or they wrong themselves, they remember Allah and then they seek forgiveness for their sins. So a muttaqi person is still a human. A muttaqi person, a righteous person, is not an angel. Okay? Which means that they will make mistakes. Now, if they make mistakes, does that mean that none of their good deeds will be accepted? No, that is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah At-Tawbah, those who mixed their خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا, who mixed, their good deeds with some evil deeds. Because they're human, they have done some good deeds and they've also done some bad deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is hoped that Allah will forgive them. Right? There is hope that Allah will forgive them. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Asallahu, this is not like putting you in doubt that maybe it will happen, maybe it won't. No, you're actually being given hope. Okay? That you should have hope in the mercy of Allah. So the thing is that no one is perfect, yes. And a muttaqi person will still make mistakes. But the main thing is that when you are doing something good, okay, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does that qualify as a deed performed with taqwa? If it qualifies as a deed performed with taqwa, then it is accepted. And if it does not qualify as a deed performed with taqwa, then it will not be accepted. So for example, salah in itself is an act that is an act of piety. Why would a person pray? Why? Because they fear Allah. The muttaqeen are those who pray. So yes, there is a person who, for example, a woman, she's not wearing hijab, okay, where she's supposed to. But when it's time to pray, she leaves everything, she goes, makes wudu, and she puts on her hijab properly, she dresses properly, and she prays properly, she prays her sunnah, she prays her fard, she does her adhkar, all right? So that act of salah is done with taqwa. So it is accepted. Even though she's doing other things in her life that are void of taqwa, okay? So the main lesson over here is that anything we do, we must bring in that the taqwa of Allah. We must do that with the fear of Allah. Because those who have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they will be إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. They will be in gardens and springs, in paradise. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي ظِلَالٍ وَعُيُونَ. They will be in shades and springs. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي مَقَامٍ أَمِينٍ. Indeed, the righteous will be in a secure place, paradise. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَنَعِيمٍ. Indeed, the righteous will be in gardens and pleasure. إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٍ نَعِيمٍ. Indeed, for the righteous, near their Lord, are gardens of pleasure. في مقعد صدق عند مليك مقتدر, in another place in the Quran, that they will be they will have a seat of honor near the sovereign who is able to do all things. Yani, they will be close to Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is what we want, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us, right? That we are in the gardens of pleasure, in paradise, and we enjoy closeness to our Lord. So this is the outcome of those who have taqwa. And without taqwa, good deeds are not accepted, right? We learned that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he said that if I were to know that, one sajda even, and another companion said two rak'ah even, are accepted from me, then that would be more beloved to me than the world and everything in it. Subhanallah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, once a beggar came at his door and Ibn Umar told his son, go give him a dinar. So his son went and gave the beggar a dinar. And then when his son came back, he said, may Allah accept it from you, my dad, my father, oh my father. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that if I knew that even one sajda or one dirham was accepted from me by Allah, then nothing would be more beloved to me than death. Meaning, if I know that my deed has been accepted, then yes, I want to leave this world because I know that I'm successful. Subhanallah. This is how eager they were, the companions were, for the acceptance of their deeds. And the thing is that when a good deed is accepted by Allah, then it no longer remains little. Okay? It no longer remains little. It becomes great once it is accepted by Allah. Because in a hadith we learn that when a person gives some charity, right, even of a date, okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, right? And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, then He causes it to grow. Like one of you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, like one of you looks after your foal, a baby horse, right? You nurture it, you protect it, you take care of it, you feed it, you look after it so that it can grow healthy and strong. But a baby horse will grow up to be what? A big horse, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes that date to grow and increase until it becomes a mountain. So when you do something for the sake of Allah, with sincerity of intention, in the best way that you can, even if it appears to be little, it appears to be little, especially if you compare to the deeds of other people. Remember, if that little deed even is accepted by Allah, it will not remain little anymore. And this is why it's so important that whatever we do, even if it's something very small that we do for the sake of Allah, let us do it with utmost sincerity and in the best way that we can. Don't boast about your good deeds. Don't perform your good deeds with, you know, with a sense of burden in your heart that, oh my God, again, it's, you know, I'm so tired. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do it. Don't drag yourself through it. Yes, you have to strive, but don't do it with disinterest. Don't do it with bad feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of you suffering. No. You bring your best effort, your best feeling, your best sincerity, and even if you're able to do a little bit like that, it will no longer remain little. It will become big. So focus on the quality, not just the quantity. And you see, especially in the last 10 days of Ramadan, a lot of people, they begin to focus on the quantity. So for example, they want to go for Taraweeh, they want to go for Qiyam, and that's excellent. They go. And mashallah, many people are able to do the quantity with the quality. That is amazing. But the problem is when we are doing these things, but then we're also boasting, we're also showing off, we're also talking to, telling people about all that we are accomplishing, or that we are thinking very highly of ourselves just because we went for Qiyam. We think that we have done something tremendous, right? And yes, it is great. We should feel happy about it, but we should not feel arrogant about it, that when we come home, those who did not go, we belittle them. Or when we find out that somebody did not pray in the night, we belittle them. Yes, we should remind them, but don't talk to them in a condescending way, as if you are a righteous, angel who has come, who is free of any mistakes and errors, and whose good deeds are guaranteed acceptance. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ Indeed, Allah only accepts from those who have taqwa. So we have to make sure that we bring into our actions those things that cause our actions to be accepted. Right? And we should avoid those things that cause deeds to be rejected. And we should be concerned about the acceptance of our deeds. When the Prophet ﷺ would break his fast, he would say, ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأُ وَبَتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقُ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ He would say that the thirst has gone and the veins have become wet, yani all the dryness has gone, and the reward has become secure if Allah wills. What did he mean by that? If Allah wills, yani he's hoping that the reward is secured. That is what we should also be eager for, that when we complete our fast, Allah accepts it. When Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam built the Kaaba, imagine, they're two good people doing something so good. What are they asking Allah? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Our Lord, accept this from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the righteous in the Quran, that وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةً. Those who give what they give while their hearts are trembling with fear. And when we give sadaqah, for example, do our hearts tremble with fear? Why do their hearts tremble with fear? Because they're afraid. Is this going to be accepted? You mean they want it to be accepted. You think about it. Cain offered a sacrifice and it was not accepted. Just because we're doing something, on the outward it appears to be good, there, you know, acceptance is not guaranteed. So we should be afraid. And when we are afraid, then we make sure that we bring quality and more sincerity to the actions that we are doing. Then we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, accept my effort. Right? رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. Oh Allah, accept dua. And when we recite Surah Al-Fatiha, why do we say Ameen? Ameen means, oh Lord, accept from us. So when we do something good, we should have this yearning in our heart that, oh Allah, accept this from us. When we make dua, we have this yearning that, oh Allah, accept this dua. When we seek forgiveness, we should have this yearning that, oh Allah, accept my istighfar. When we repent, we should have this yearning that, oh Allah, accept my repentance. So, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds. And we should make this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa amalan mutaqabbalan wa rizqan tayyiba. That, oh Allah, I ask you for beneficial knowledge and for deeds that are accepted and for sustenance that is pure. Amalan mutaqabbala. Give me the ability to do those deeds which are accepted by you. Give me the ability to do deeds with sincerity and in a way that is pleasing to you. Ameen. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here for today. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.